The U.S. Air Force brings the Warthog into the digital era. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. The U.S. Air Force is upgrading all 356 copies of the A-10 Thunderbolt II with state-of-the-art avionics and digital communications, and plans a continued role for the plane till 2028. Yesterday, we brought you the first part of a news conference updating progress on what will now be called the A-10C. It's hosted by Colonel James Ratty, 508th Aircraft Sustainment Squadron Commander and A-10 System Program Manager at Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Hansen, A-10 Requirements Director at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. And Roger Ilgrand of Lockheed Martin Systems Integration and the company's A-10 Program Director in Owego, New York. Today, we continue with reporter questions.
Our next question from the line of Michael Sirach with Defense Daily. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. My first question deals with the interim upgrades that I believe you were making to some of the Guard A-10s so that they could have added capabilities and, before they get the full A-10C upgrade. Can you kind of tell us where you are with that and, you know, what is the plan is for then having those aircraft transitioned over to the full A-10C upgrades?
Sure, I'll address that. Colonel Ratty again. We have an interim upgrade called the Smart Multifunction Color Display, or Smart MFCD, that's going in some of the Guard and Reserve airplanes that are closer to the end of the precision engagement line. It brings a subset of precision engagement capabilities, but it's not by any means the full measure of capability. There's one color display that's put into the airplane. It incorporates a processor inside of it, which has all the programming and so on that talks to the weapon stations. It does not have 1760 capability, so it can't drop the precision weapons, but it does greatly improve the interface to the targeting pods that we can put onto the aircraft. So it helps, but it's not the full solution. It does bring the saddle data link in, which is a significant increase in capability. There are several airplanes now that have been modified with Smart MFCD, and we expect to deploy that very shortly here. But then that modification, it's relatively small in scope and can be easily demodded. So those airplanes will be demodded when they come through the PE line, and the eventual configuration for the entire A-10 fleet will be the A-10C, or precision engagement configuration.
And how many of the Guard aircraft are getting this interim upgrade, and will they be the last aircraft that then go through the line to get the full A-10C changes?
Yeah, in general, they're at the end of the line, and there's going to be 102 total. It's 51 in each of the Guard and Reserve.
And also, just so we have some of our facts correct, how many total aircraft are getting the A-10C upgrade? Is it 350 or?
356 is the plan. The entire fleet of A-10s that are flying actively right now.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question from the line of Mike Fabey with Aviation Week and Aerospace Daily. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. Just want to get an idea if you could break down the cost right now. For example, how much the current rollout is costing for what you have now. Break that down for the avionics at all, and just what the total cost is expected to be right now if there's been any change in that too.
I don't have those numbers at my fingertips. It's the PE altogether is about a roughly $500 million program. Roger, do you know kit costs?
The kit cost is on the order of approximately $450,000. That is for the Group A, which is a lot of the mechanicals and the wiring, and the Group B, which is for the avionics equipment. And that is not inclusive of the installation cost. So I don't have a good handle on what that cost is.
This is Lieutenant Colonel Hansen. I asked that question a few weeks ago because somebody asked me, and so the engineers out there at Mike Ballack's number, including everything together, is $1.42 million per jet, and that includes all costs.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
And our next question from the line of Bruce Ralston with Air Force Times. Please go ahead.
Hello. The supplemental requests before Congress right now for 2007 and 2008 include about $500 million for A-10 upgrades. I guess they're, you know, described one as just general classification of A-10 mods, The other is the A10 PUP, which I assume is the engine upgrade. I wonder if you could just discuss what the supplemental money would buy for the A10.
Okay, there's a few things that we're going to do with that. You mentioned the propulsion upgrade program. We'd like to get a development, continue the development program for the propulsion upgrade, so that's a portion of the money. We also have some money in there to supplement our wing replacement program. We need a few more dollars to get the low-rate initial production wings going. So there's some money in there for that. We've requested some money to help with precision engagement with the remaining installations that we have. So that's really the bulk of it.
Okay.
Ralph, can you elaborate on any of that, or correct me if I misspoke on any of that?
That's correct, sir. And then the other, the major item in the 07 supplemental is for the secure line of sight and SATCOM.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We go next to the line of Michael Sirak with Defense Daily. Please go ahead.
Hello again, gentlemen. Building on what Bruce just asked, I was hoping that perhaps Colonel Ratty or Lieutenant Colonel Hansen could kind of, you know, walk us through the, give us kind of like the big picture roadmap of what you want to do beyond the PE upgrades to keep these aircraft going and viable through 2028.
All right, I'll start and then I'll let Ralph tack on and comment. Of course, you know, from an avionics standpoint, precision engagement is the biggest thing that we have going, and it's absolutely critical that we keep the funding in place to get that program in all 356 airplanes. The ARC-210 secure line of sight and beyond line of sight communications capability is also very very crucial to us. That provides an operational capability that's absolutely necessary in today's battlefield. We've discussed the AAR-47 self protection and so on is important to the airplane in the combat environment, and we want to get that going too. But it's great to have all that avionic capability, but you got to have the truck to carry it all. And as I said earlier, we're into our second lifetime on the airplane, so we do have to pay attention to the structure. We feel that we have the structural program very well under control. I think we understand where the issues are in terms of fatigue cracking and that kind of thing. In fact, that's why we've initiated this program to replace wings on the thin skin portion of the A-10 fleet. But as the aircraft continues to age, we're going to have to continue to pay attention to those structural issues and make sure that we fund the research and also the inspection and repair or modification programs that it will take to keep the structure sound and get us all the way out to 16,000 hours in 2028. Ralph, anything to add?
I'm not sure that's a big thing. It's those three programs that are partially funded right now, the AR-47 missile warning system, the ARC-210, both beyond line of sight and secure line of sight, and then the onboard oxygen generating system. Those are the big three right now that are partially funded. They're not funded for the whole fleet. And then as we go farther out in the future, the big things for me are getting a helmet-mounted queuing system airplane, and then a fully integrated COM-NAV suite that we don't have right now. So those are the things on the plate in the next decade.
And for the things like the ARC-210 and the helmet-mounted queuing system, when do you start, when you talk about these upgrades, when do you start saying, well, we don't need them for all 356 jets? Because I know, for example, that you're only going to re-engine about 200 of the thin-skinned aircraft, and I believe as you're looking into the teens, the numbers start to come down, as you said, as the JSFs come on. So, I mean, when do you, like, for these upgrades that you just mentioned, are you still thinking the whole fleet? Are your numbers starting to come down?
Well, again, I'll start, and I'll let Ralphie tack on. The re-engineering program would be for the whole fleet. You may be confused with the re-winging. We're going to put new wings on all the thin-skin airplanes, but all the talk to date about re-engineering has been for the entire fleet. And really, most of the profiles that I've seen for how we predict to keep airplanes around in the inventory don't show significant tail-offs in numbers until way in the out years, close to 2028. So any of these modifications that we would make to the airplane, we would intend to do for the entire fleet of aircraft that's still flying. I'll put it that way. It may not be 356, depending on attrition or some fleet changes that could happen that we just haven't predicted yet. But the intent is we want to keep a homogeneous fleet of A-10s across the active duty guard and reserve. We want the airplanes to all look alike, have the same capabilities and so on. That gives us the most flexibility for employing the airplane and deploying the airplane. We can mix and match from units as we need to. When we bring airplanes into the AOR, the commander over there doesn't have to worry about whether he's getting an A-10 with full capability or less than full capability. An A-10 is an A-10. Ralphie, anything to add?
No, sir. So we're talking about even if we get some things on the airplane 3 or 4 years from now, we're still talking about having it on the airplane for 10 years. So it's a pretty darn good return on investment for the taxpayer, in my opinion.
Thank you.
We'll hear more of the U.S. Air Force's update on the A-10C in a moment. This AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V-220 and V-300T engines.
How smart is the engine in your aircraft? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as smart and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V-220 and V-300T from Aircraft Engine Services and their state-of-the-art engine management system. Both the V-220 and the V-300T feature a fully redundant and certified engine management system that controls all engine operation parameters. This EMS includes a true FADEC that manages propeller pitch and other elements of engine operation not usually controlled by the EMS in piston aircraft engines. The EMS automatically provides an optimum fuel mix by constantly measuring the manifold pressure, ambient pressure, engine speed, and throttle positioning, and calculating the appropriate fuel injection timing for each cycle and cylinder. The AES V-220 and V-300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at theaircraftengine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg. We continue now with reporters' questions at the Air Force's Tuesday briefing on the A-10C program.
And our next question from the line of Bruce Ralston with Air Force Times. Please go ahead.
On the re-engineering, I just needed to clarify something. I think when I talked, interviewed some folks there about a year ago now, the re-engineering was described as not a total new engine, but replacement of core parts on existing engines. And then I've read, recently, even in our own publication, talk about a new engine entirely. And I was wondering, when we talk about the re-engineering, what are we looking at right now?
Okay. It really is a derivative of the existing engine. There'll be changes to the hot section as well as the compressor to give it the ability to produce some more thrust. So we'll turn up the temperatures in the hot section and do the appropriate material changes and so on back there to stand those higher temperatures, make the compressor a bit more efficient and so forth. But it really is a derivative of the existing engine. That engine is in use in a commercial version on Canadair regional jets.
Okay.
And so what they'd be doing is taking a lot of that technology that's in the commercial engine and moving it to ours. However, it would not be exactly the same engine as the commercial engine. There would still be some A-10 unique things in there, which give it a thrust increase even over the commercial version.
Would an engine that's right now sitting on an A-10, would parts of that engine still be in the re-engined?
Oh, absolutely.
Engine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What the contractor is proposing doing is producing a kit of new parts, and the engines would come into an overhaul line and be stripped apart. Significant portions of the existing hot section and compressor would be removed. These new parts would be put in. The engine would be built back up, tested, and sent out the door for installation on the airplane. And there, we'll also have to make some changes to the airplane itself. We can't scope exactly yet what the structural changes will be, but it's intuitively obvious that if you put more thrust on, you're probably going to have to make some changes to motor mounts and perhaps the aft fuselage and so on to tolerate that higher thrust. There may be some control and display changes in the cockpit as we go through this. We haven't fully scoped all that out. That would be part of the development program. But it's going to involve more than just changes to the engine. There will have to be some aircraft changes as well.
Different question. Any changes in store for the gun?
Not really. Right now, we'll continue with overhaul and replacing parts on the gun and so on. But the venerable Gal 8 will remain a central part of the A-10 weapon system.
Thank you.
And our next question from the line of Michael Sirek with Defense Daily. Please go ahead.
Hello again. Colonel Ratty and Colonel Hanson, I'm wondering if you see the need down the road to address the issue of armor on the aircraft, or if you think the existing armor, is sufficient to get you through 2028 as far as, protecting the pilot and meeting those requirements.
Well, right now, the A-10 is a pretty tough airplane. I'm sure that many of you have seen the pictures of Casey Campbell and her shot up aircraft, and how well that made it back to the ground, thanks in large part to her great piloting skill, but also due to the toughness of the overall airplane. What we are doing, there's a lot of ballistic foam throughout the airplane, and it deteriorates over the years, and so as airplanes come through the depot line, we replace that. But I've not heard any talk of upgraded armor or changes to it. When you start doing things like that, you make big changes to weight and CG. We don't want to make the airplane any heavier, and we don't want to change its flying qualities. So I think we're probably in pretty good shape armor-wise. Ralphie, I'll let you tack on with a comment.
There are certain things we could do here and there to increase the overall capability of the overall survivability of the airplane, but would be minor increases. As Colonel Ratty said, the overall airplane is very structurally sound and very very tough, and so it's really just it'd be very small enhancements, and you start wondering about the cost versus benefit at that point. So we're pretty happy with the airplane that we have now.
Okay, thank you.
We have no further questions, so Colonel Ratty, I'll turn it back to you.
All right. Well, once again, I'd like to thank everybody for joining in today. Thank you for the opportunity to tell you a little bit about what we're doing with the A-10. We're very excited about where this weapon system has come from and what lies out ahead of it. It's a very exciting time to be part of the A-10 program. We're entering a whole new renaissance here for the aircraft. Significant new capabilities that will guarantee its effectiveness and relevance out through the rest of its useful lifetime. So thanks for letting us share that with you.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Mr. Il Grande and Mr. Hanson. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That will conclude our conference call for today. I'd like to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.